I can do that. I'm just feeding kids. Welcome to the extended After Dark Talk. Today we'll be talking about the Avengers, and there'll be spoilers, guys.
Yeah!
Yeah, right. Let's get to all the spoilers.
So if you don't want to hear spoilers, you don't want to hear theories, you want to hear anything, just don't skip ahead. Just go, hey, thanks, guys. I'm out.
Yeah, or tune back into us when you have seen it, and then you can enjoy this podcast.
Exactly. Exactly. So. But I haven't seen it, but I'm going to sit back and enjoy it. Go ahead, ladies.
You remember when like Jack made his cameo as Xavier? It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. All right, so I have some questions. I have one major time travel question. Okay.
Yeah.
So, because at the very end, I was just like, "Wait, what?
What well, can you? Yeah, that's I haven't seen it.
The whole Captain America part at the end—that's a huge fucking loophole. I mean,
or is it
a plot hole? Well, I mean, think about it. When they went in the original, there were so many of them they had to go through different particles at different times, you know, specific things. So he was supposed to go in one trip to all these things. Like, shouldn't he have gone like to one, then come back, gone and come back, and then you know?
Well, how did he do it? Was he in a plane or was he?
No. There's a lot of time travel in this one.
I know Superman just went around the Earth.
Oh, he turned back time.
Yeah, turned back. If he can turn back time.
So yeah, but that's 1980s sci-fi. This is now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a. People called this during the last Ant-Man movie is that's how they're going to do it. Is that the whole quantum realm you can manipulate time because you're in such a small space. And that's basically what they do.
So what happens is in the end, nobody dies.
No, lots of people die.
But when they went back and changed time,
basically so at first you might think like, this is fucking lame. Like, cause they're like, oh, we just get the stones back and then we can just switch it. And you're like, that's going to be lame. You know, if that's just that's how DC would do it.
Ouch.
And, but they do it very cleverly.
Yeah.
And how they do kind of attempt to do that, but it goes wrong. And then they have to create a whole other scenario, which you're like, now this is more like cool. And I really liked it.
So sorry, Jack, for spoiling you on something.
No, I said go ahead because, like, again, it'd probably be a couple months before I see it, so I won't remember.
And and there's a lot that happens in the movie. There's some fun things. So you know, it's like, but anyway, at the end though, the time frame is continued on, even though there's a 5 years later moment in this movie. Right? There's a big 5 years later. In fact, Ant-Man's daughter, who I thought was like seven in the first movie. She's like a teenager or something. And I'm like, wait, how did you go from being like an 8 year? I mean, even if he's 8 years old,
is it like Rocky 4 to Rocky 5?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Like, I'm just like, I don't know how you aged that much. Like, she looks like she's 17. Like,
what I mean?
It's all the hormones in the meat, man.
Well, I'm just saying she wasn't 12. And jumped to 17. It was like,
so you're saying that's a plot hole for you? That's
well, it confused me. And then to add to that, so in the end, like that's fine. Like I'm happy for Ant-Man and his daughter, and time moved on for them. That's fine. You know, so be it. He lost those years with his daughter. She's still alive. Great. But then Spider-Man, I'm really confused about.
Yeah, that was one that bothered me.
How is he fucking back in high school?
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Please tell me he dies.
He died in the first one.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Then I'm happy now.
Matt.
It doesn't make sense that he's like, okay, yeah, he'd have to go back to high school, but is all of his friends still? Did they all disappear and come back?
That's what I said. It's like, because, like, okay, let's say, because it could be the guy, I never remember his name, his friend, you know, the guy in the chair.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's clearly there. Like,
right.
But, so you're saying the snap took all of his friends, including MJ and everyone else. So they're all back in school again. It's like, what if one of them, what if MJ hadn't been affected by the snap? She'd be 5 years old now. She'd be like 23.
Mm. Exactly.
And she'd be in college and they'd still be in fucking high school. I was
exactly.
Like, so there's a huge fucking plot hole there.
Specifically with the Spider-Man, that was the one thing that I was like, wait, what? How is he still in high school? And then, especially because he saw his friend.
Are you talking about the movie that's coming out soon?
Yeah. Homecoming.
No. Well, Far From Home.
Oh, Far From Home. Excuse me.
But we don't know the time frame of that movie.
I think it's supposed to be right after.
We don't know that.
We don't know.
Well, we don't know that. But at least in the end of the movie, though, it gives us the illusion that him and his buddy are back in high school.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, yeah. So what happened to all of your friends? Like, they would all have to be wiped out because it's 5 years later, and 5 years later still exists.
Well, perhaps they were all wiped out, and they had to resume their lives.
Fair enough. I guess that's one way that you can retcon this. But I just was like, wait.
With the whole Captain America thing, though, at the end, which an interesting take on that is that he also had the ability, technically, to jump to different time dimensions as well. Right,
he had different pin vials there.
Could have gone and gotten all the stones back, and then like went to an alternate reality or alternate dimension where he got an unbroken shield.
Yeah.
Right, and brought that back.
Right,
And could have lived a life with Agent Carter that had no repercussions or impact on the future that we saw during the movie that we watched.
So you're saying Agent Carter from the first Captain America?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd be for that.
I really don't want to spoil you, Jack, on that, like on certain things. But there's definitely like when I said earlier, guys, like it could have been. I said this with Jay. I'm not sure if it was on air or off air. It had to be off air. I felt the movie could have benefited from another 20 minutes of seeing what Captain America did. Because I really, really, really...
Or...
What?
Or...
You going to interrupt me?
It's okay. Dennis will fix it.
I really wanted... I could have cared less, but you know, he's supposed to be putting the stones back at the exact moment that they were taken. So... It makes sense to me from two. I wanted to see two things because, like, and when he goes back to the planet with the soul stone, if it's a soul for a soul, couldn't he, when returning the soul stone, say, I want Black Widow back?
Sure.
And also, fucking Red Skull is there. So I wanted to see a reunion with Red Skull and Captain America. I was like, because you know that had to have happened. And it's like,
oh, hey, you're here.
Yeah, and then, like, it wouldn't have been fought. You know, Red Skull could have been remorseful and been like, I've learned a lot, you know, in my time and my punishment here. You know, I wanted to see that reunion and didn't get it.
So, fair enough. A cool little, I think that was intentional, first of all, because they're opening up the possibility of many more stories, right?
Can I ask a question? Does Captain America die?
He doesn't die on screen.
he's my favorite, so...
He's still mine as well. So
there's a really cool Captain America
stuff. I was reading about this after the fact. I did not catch this when I was watching it. But the scene in which Cap is back in 1970, is it?
Yeah. 1970. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's hiding behind, apparently, the glass that was see-through only one direction.
Right.
Or behind the blinds that just perfectly covered him.
She was smoking hot for a 40-something-year-old.
And she was. And she came. Here's the thing. I read about this after the fact. So she busts into that office. And if you recall that scene, she's very frantic. Like, something's happening, right? Mm-hmm. So she's talking to somebody off camera. There's, like, a lot of commotion. And she refers to Braddock. And he can't be found.
Who are you talking about?
Agent Carter.
Agent Carter.
Okay. All right, thanks.
So Braddock, they can't find him, blah, blah, blah. Braddock is actually Captain Britain.
Oh.
From Marvel Universe.
Nice. Okay.
So what's his name? Feige or his name is saying how he wanted to bring Captain Britain into the Marvel MCU.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that this might be just a head nod, or it could potentially be a whole storyline that could be created for future movies. Now, we think about Cap going back in time to see her.
Mm-hmm.
That could be an entire potential, like, story arc of Captain Britain, right? And there's also the writers... of Endgame said that they want to write a movie about the Black Knight, who is another Marvel comic book character that is rumored to be part of an upcoming movie release. So there's a couple other Avengers-like groups that were written in the Marvel Universe with various different groups of people. So it's entirely possible, Nick, that this trip back that he went and experienced an entire life with Agent Carter. Don't forget, because in the comic books as well, they talk about how there's a couple story arcs about how his super serum was kind of like altered that allowed him to age. And we saw an aged Captain Marvel at the end of our movie.
Captain America.
That's what I meant. Captain America at the end of our movie. So there's a whole, like, multiple possible storylines that could take place the moment he goes back.
So they have a bunch of storylines that could, they have a bunch more movies they can make because just the different storylines they have hanging out there.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. They're totally going on forward.
So, like, I mean, back,
this is, so they ended phase three and now they're going into phase four, correct? Oh,
okay. So Jack, to explain a little bit, because I know you don't know. So they're trying to get the Infinity Stones, but they need to get them from different time periods to accomplish what they need to get accomplished. And so, like, for one of the spinoffs, because they're making a Loki series now, is that during the, when they're trying to get the Time Stone, the Iron Man fucks up and loses the Time Stone, and Loki picks it up and immediately just, like, you know.
Right, it vanishes.
So that's what the series is going to be about, is, like, this alternate time.
Of, so it's gonna, you're saying it's going to be a TV show?
Yeah, it's going to be a TV show with...
Okay.
Okay. Disney Plus.
Yeah, Disney Plus. $6 a month.
So $6.99. But yeah.
Nick, we should also I'm gonna have to go take care of my kid in a minute. But Nick, I'd love for you, Nick, to talk about what we heard at the end credits.
Oh yeah, thanks for reminding me. Yeah. Do you want to talk about now? Okay.
Yeah,
so Matt, okay, what you were saying, so you stayed for the end credits, and the only thing you don't see but here is a clank.
Yeah.
All you're hearing is clank. And that is a reference to the very first Iron Man movie when he's making the suit.
Totally. That's exactly what I thought of.
Yeah. And that's what it is. And so a lot of people were like, well, what the fuck does that mean? What does that have to do with anything? So in the funeral scene, when they're panning over everybody and they're showing, like, everybody just looking forward.
Does Tony Stark die?
He does die.
Okay.
There is one person in the very back that you're like, who the fuck is that guy?
Mm-hmm.
That is the kid from Iron Man 3.
Okay.
It's the same actor, too. And so it's the kid that got all the technology that Tony sent him.
So he'll be the new Iron Man.
You got it.
Okay. That kid just got fucking payday.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't do shit. He's gonna get paid if it unravels in the way we think it could.
You mean the actor or the Tony the kid? Just because Tony Stark left him a lot of
money. Well, both, yeah. Okay. The actor, really, but yeah, I mean, because the kid was smart. That was, I mean, because Iron Man 3, for the most part, is a completely pointless movie.
It's not as bad as Iron Man 2, but yeah.
I kind of agree.
The rumor is it's going to be that kid is going to reprise the role of Iron Man, and Morgan Stark would also play a big role, too.
So kind of like an Ant-Man Wasp thing.
Yeah. Exactly. So that, I'll tell you, this is apropos as I go take care of my kid in just a second. But, like, this is the thing that got me really, like, emotional during the flick was all of the family references.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, the fucking opening scene.
Hey, that's what I was about to say.
Yeah. Guy, man.
Yep. Just because he knew nothing. You know? And so he just
looked out. Wait, who died in the beginning?
So
lots of people.
If you remember, I forget which movie it is. Is it Civil War or whatever? Hawkeye basically retires because he's married, he's got kids, and he's on house arrest.
He's got an ankle bracelet.
Yeah. So, in Infinity War, Hawkeye's not even in Infinity War. That's it. And at the very opening, there's no opening credits or anything. It's just like straight opening scene, and you see Hawkeye teaching his daughter how to shoot a bow and arrow, and like
she's really sweet. Lot.
It's really sweet, yeah. And like the family's like having a picnic and all this, and he turns around to go get like some arrows or do something, and then he turns around and all of his kids, everyone's gone.
Everyone, his whole family.
You see the dust.
The dust, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they've been incinerated.
It's essentially the
point of view from Hawkeye when Thanos snaps, right? Yeah. So, like, fuck, that's Thanos. The time frame. But it was just a really gut-wrenching scene.
Yeah.
And it ties back to Hawkeye. Actually goes back to that point in time when he's on the time heist. mm-hmm. get that stone. And he walks in and he hears his daughter and he calls for her and
he zaps
back. And then
this is the beginning of the movie.
We're jumping back and forth, but then there's one scene that really got me, like fucking killed me, was when Tony Stark was tucking his daughter in.
Yeah.
And she says, I love you 3000, mm-hmm. I think was the quote. And like in Tony Stark fashion, he plays it off like he has some like, smart, witty comment or whatever. But like, that's the type of shit that I say to my kid, mm-hmm. you know, like my daughter and I will every night have a competition to see who loves who more. Right. It's just like our thing. And it was so touching and it happened on multiple different occasions throughout the movie.
Oh, well, in multiple different ways, because yes. it's, you know, not like Thor talking to his mom and there are certain things that's like, yeah, who wouldn't give an opportunity to go back?
So they humanize these superheroes.
Every single one of them, like they have a moment, I would say, that like humanizes them. And even Black Widow, who doesn't have a family, it's heartbreaking because the Avengers were her family and she gave up everything for them.
Yeah. But all these heartwarming moments set up the transfer of like legacy.
Yeah. Right,
to these kids, which is what could potentially be the future of the MCU.
Yeah, and that's what I mean about like what I was saying earlier about Thanos's quote there towards the end of the movie of saying, you know, I learned my mistake now by only eliminating half the population. I thought they'd be grateful. I thought they'd be happy. But no, it's just resentment and remembrance of what was, not what could be. He goes, now I'll destroy this world and everyone will be grateful. And I was like, this is such a metaphor for what's happening. And then that's, you know, because like everyone was happy at the end, regardless of what they lost, like, except for Black Widow. But
I'd give her a hug.
But, you know, like to have a villain deliver a great message, you know, I think it makes the hero part. I don't know. It just fills it out. It rounds it out. Like it humanizes the villain in a way, even if you don't like them. You know,
yeah, so. And I'm gonna leave with my final thought, then I gotta run. But the not very present in the movie, but Doctor Strange,
yeah,
like his interaction with Tony Stark in two different scenes, were amazing, right? So he's like, I can't tell you how it's gonna happen, right, and there's a reference to what he says, like 1 in 14 million. And as he's doing his thing at the end, he looked at Tony, was just like.
And he holds up the one. It's so like, beautiful. Yeah.
Like you're the one. And then Tony's like, oh, fucking game time. End game time, if you will. End game time. Hey, there, that's actually the episode title for the previous thing we just recorded.
Game time or end time?
end game time, whatever. But that was just awesome. And the last bit that got me really teary, obviously, was at the very, very end. Not the very, very end. The first ending. When Pepper was talking to Tony saying, you can rest now.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a great throwback to her. Like when she gave him like essentially gave him the permission.
And Pepper is what's her name?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. All right, guys, I got our bolt.
All right.
Chris.
Great, Chris. Thanks.
Congratulations again, Chris.
Yes, all right. Thanks. Congrats. We'll see you guys next week.
All right. All right.
Take care.
All right. I'll be taking the role of Chris now. Yeah, that part had me in tears. In fact, I was crying so loud they had to escort me from the theater because I was ruining the movie for everyone.
I tell you, Jack, you know, like I said earlier, like I'm not a crier, but yeah, there's at least three or four times where I definitely watered up. I mean, it does tug on your heartstrings.
I never used to be a crier, and I cry over everything.
I think there's just a little something for each of the characters in different parts of the movie, and that's what I thought was great. The fact that they were able to weave together so many different story arcs, and including the entire 22-movie saga. I mean,
it sounds like I could go see it.
I've seen enough of it
to know what.
Right.
Yeah. It did prove to me that the show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is completely pointless. It's like you included everybody else from the MCU universe except anyone from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I was like, yeah.
But sure. Weird that they like.
Is that show still on?
I think it is. It's been a while.
But they showed Kobe Smulders in the credit. I was like, where the fuck was she? I didn't see her.
Yeah. I tried watching that show. I couldn't get into it.
I mean, they show a lineup of specifically towards the end in the battle scene where it's just like every female superhero. And it's really cool, but it's like, oh, and that one, and that one, and that one, and that that one. Okay, I see what you did here. Like, that's cool, you know. But she's not there.
Well, she's just a regular agent.
Sure, I know, but it's just... Yeah. Anyway, it was a cool
moment. You got a little crush on her? So, yeah.
She's a good-looking woman.
It's How I Met Your Mother, man. I mean, I've watched it, so.
I only watched a couple times.
Now, I know what you mean, Jack, about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., though. Like, there's... I forget what season it is. There's one season where they go to this other planet that's really a good season, and then after that, it's basically been shit.
I was at the time, I think I was watching The Flash, Arrow, and so I said, okay, I'll give this a try. And I think I watched like 8 episodes. I go, okay, I can't get through this. I'm other than the car being really cool, I can't get through these episodes.
I think this last season was decent because they were dealing with what are their names? The blue skinned people that Yondu was.
Oh, okay.
The crew. I don't know.
Crew.
Yeah. But basically, that race they're dealing with, and that's like that's a cool season. But like the Kroll, yeah. But like the season before dealt with that really bad Nicolas Cage character with the skull.
I think it was terrible. I think Agent Carter probably was the better show, and unfortunately, it got canceled earlier. So, but it was nice that they had such a call out to Agent Carter, which has a bigger role probably in this movie than anything that Agents of
S.H.I.E.L.D. Agent Carter was on ABC, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I thought it was one season or two?
I think it was two. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I always meant to watch it. But didn't watch it. And then she did some show where she was a lawyer or a cop or something like that.
Cop lawyer.
I don't know. My wife watched
cop lawyer doctor.
My wife watched that one. I said, oh, she's in Captain America. So,
well, yeah. I'm sure there's more that we could probably have geeked out about and talked about, but some really cool moments. I don't want to spoil everything.
I meant to say, before Chris left, there was one thing I was really, really wanting that from the very beginning when Tony's on the ship, you know, and he's giving his final message through the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted him to close out with him saying, "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope." Because that's exactly what it is. And I thought it would have been such a Tony thing to do for him to realize what he's doing.
That would be a Tony thing to do.
Yeah, and he didn't do it. I was like, it's perfect. I mean, for him to say that. And it didn't happen.
You should have been writing it, Nick.
Well, no, I think I would be a good script doctor, but not a good...
How kick-ass was Captain Marvel, though? Like, I mean...
Well, she was okay. To me, she was...
She came in and destroyed an entire ship.
But she was... to me, her character was the Eagles from Lord of the Rings. You know, it was like...
Sure, I can see that.
She's that person that's so powerful. Yeah, it comes in at the end. It's like, oh, everything you guys just did, it's not really that important. I can just take care of it. And you're like, okay.
She still couldn't get the gauntlet.
No, that's true.
Yeah, so... But anyway, it's some really great moments, and I like how everything was structured. You know, like there's clearly like three different movements that kind of happen throughout the movie.
No, I thought it was I know you and I disagree with the new Star Wars trilogy, but like to me, like this was a perfect blend of action, humor, sadness, and plot and callbacks. Like it was it was nothing too over the top. And even the things that they ripped off from other films, or they weren't completely rips off. They were just they knew that. Like how many movies did they reference of like with time travel? Like, oh, is this Back to the Future? Oh,
but
is this Terminator?
Also, like in our universe, like Star Wars is not in our universe, so they can't really say like Back to the Future and Star Wars. I mean, it's just like you can't have pop cultural references in Star Wars, so there's
Well, I'm saying, but like within this Avenger movie, like
sure,
like when Nebula reached in to get the orb, her arm was just like in Terminator, like the way she was holding and everything is like that's just like Terminator. When Tony was doing the theory and like he was saying like, oh, like this is a locator, time travel locator, that's basically like straight out of Time Cop. Like there were so many things that were like other films that they were, but then they weren't blatantly ripping them off, but they didn't say, you know, they were. It was like a perfect. If you understood it, you did. If you didn't, then it's okay. Because there's definitely a lot of movie references in it, or time travel references.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what I like is the enthusiasm you guys are showing, and Chris and then Jay yesterday. No, I'm serious. I know people have been waiting for this movie for a long time. It didn't disappoint, because how many times have we gone to a movie? Oh, I can't wait. And you go, oh my God, this is what I waited for.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just by judging what everyone's doing on Twitter or social media, at least it paid off.
Yeah.
I was probably more underwhelmed by the first part. Like, I was just kind of like, okay.
The first hour of the setup?
No, the first part, like the
Infinity War?
Yeah, the Infinity
War. Dude, I love that. Infinity War is the movie I always want. Because, like, it's because how many times have you seen a movie where, you know, they're setting up this villain and, like, or, like, it's kind of like the Deathly Hallows and Harry Potter. Like, I want to see someone have all three of them and actually use them, you know? But it never gets to that point. Like, either the hero or something defeats the villain and you never see what happens. Infinity War is exactly the kind of movie I want to see. Because the villain came in, I wanted all six Infinity Stones, and I want to do, and you actually, the audience gets to see what happens when the villain.
Yeah, no, I hear your argument plot wise. There's certain things that I just was a little bit more underwhelmed with the Infinity War. So, but I liked this one. I like how this one, complemented it. So maybe I'll like the Infinity War even more now. Yeah. So, and I can watch it on Netflix. So,
is it anyway? I think I've seen it.
Hopefully, the listeners.
I think you'd remember, Jack, if you'd seen it.
No, I don't remember anything anymore. I literally have to watch. Oh yeah, I have seen that.
You mean you haven't seen?
Yeah, you can recall PT-109. Yeah, like it just came out yesterday.
Stuff that happened. It's like short-term memory, whatever it is. Things that happened, like, you know, from like 10 years ago, I can remember almost everything.
It's like all those doobies.
Yeah, I guess so. But everything's just blurred now. It's like, I don't remember that. Did I say this?
Hopefully the listeners have enjoyed our Avengers talk.
But I remember Cobra Kai.
Extended. Yeah, you do.
Well, yeah, you just crunched it like in a week.
You'll forget it by next week. You know, Chris and I and maybe Matt too, like we'll all watch it this week. And then we'll be like, start talking about it. And Jack's like, wait a minute, Cobra Kai 2's out? Really?
When did that happen? Come on now.
That was last year, guys. It was back when Nixon was in office and FDR was running this country into the ground.
Worst part is they're going to run it another. It takes another year.
Yeah, but season three of Cobra Kai is going to be the time travel season.
Well, that's why I think Disney Plus is doing it probably in a better way than like Netflix. You know, releases everything all at once, whereas Disney Plus is going to do it like two or three episodes at a time,
more HBO style.
Yeah, HBO style. Like, it was just like, oh, like, you know, yeah, we're going to release these two or three episodes, and then you have to wait.
I'm hit or miss. If I'm podcasting about it, I wish they would at least do one episode a week.
It's like that's why I'm excited about The Mandalorian. Podcast about it.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, when it's just comes all at once, it is harder, you know, like when you're doing something like
that. Yeah, we do Stranger Things and it comes all at once. And so we just do an episode. I think we're doing one or two episodes. I can't remember what we did. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people are already finished with it and we're on the second episode. I wonder what's going to happen here. People are going, you idiots, just watch the whole thing.
You miss those days of Lost, you know, where you could really sit there and analyze every single
thing. Lost, you needed, you know, back then we bitched about having two or three weeks off at a time. Looking back on it, you needed 2-3 weeks because it took so long to dissect an episode. Whereas if it was on where you binged it, and you're going, I'd be so far behind, I wouldn't understand what was going on.
And they really heard it in season three, all the chop ups. But
go ahead. Well, as I was saying, like, and that's what I've been disappointed with people I know who are younger than us who like oh I'm watching Lost and they'll just binge watch, you know, all the seasons back to back to back, and I'm like, you're missing so much cool shit.
Exactly.
Buried, and all it's the Easter eggs.
Well, yeah, you're missing too is you're missing not only the podcast but message boards. You know, there was so much information out there. There was one site that had each frame by frame by frame by frame. I figured Jay would go on there to do the AAC feed, whatever he put it on there.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be a whole page of just each scene. So you go, oh, wait, that is what I thought that was. That is what I thought that was. Whereas, you know, you binge, I watch five episodes a night.
My memory was in season two when Locke, when the door comes down, you know, and the night light comes on.
Oh, yeah.
That is the one I remember everybody freaking, you know, mm-hmm. taking screenshots of and just analyzing everything that was within that map. And it ended up being not really being that important, but still it's like you're just like,
oh, I mean, I spent hours just like, you know, whoa, what about this station? What about this station?
I remember the podcast. It was someone said lots of fuck up. And then we dissected everything that was going on. I think I said it. Locke's just a fuck up.
Well, yeah, you were anti-Locke. Yeah.
No, I was not anti-Locke. He just was not the guy. He wasn't the leader.
No, he wasn't.
They were true to it, because Jay would always argue. I said, no, they were true to the character.
Yeah.
He wasn't a leader. He was a wannabe.
He was. I mean, I was always with you, Jack, on this, because I, in that scenario, I'm a Jack. You know, I'm a man of science. I'm not a man of faith. And so I never was really much on Locke's side.
You can have faith and be both, I think, but you can't be so wanting to believe something that you fuck everything up.
Yeah, and you defy your logic.
And that's what he did.
You get people killed.
And I had people hated me because of my stance on John Locke.
Yeah. I that was my issue.
Well, that's what I said it was.
My issue with... you know, especially in the ending was, you know, I need to watch it again, but it's like, you know, he had no power at the end. It's like, just let him leave. He just wants to leave the island. That's all he's ever wanted to do is leave. Just let him leave.
I still say, people argue with me. I said, that's what people got pissed about was across the sea, because you realize Jacob is just, he's just a guy. He's not even the sharpest tool in the shed.
No.
Of the two guys, he's, Man in Black was the smarter guy. He always won the game. He always won. Man in Black, just all he wanted to do was leave.
That's all he wanted to do.
All I want to do is just, I just want to go somewhere. I want to see the world and mother. And they said, no, you can't. You stay here.
He can't
leave because he's evil. No, he's frustrated. He's angry.
Yeah. I didn't understand it. I was like, just let him leave. Let him go home. I was if I was there for how many years, hundreds of years, I want to go too.
And you got to play, the only guy you can play games with sucks at it. Christ. I mean, it's fun to win, but not just like, come on. It's like playing Spanos in a game of, you know, checkers or something.
And, you know, like I know we've talked about this at many Comic-Con panels, you know, but that was always, you know, my issue with the show is nothing to do with what most people have issues with, which I always think is, people are like, oh, well, they were dead the whole time. I'm like, no, you weren't watching the show then. It was just the fact that they should have introduced Man in Black and Jacob earlier on in the show, because season six makes most 1 through 5 irrelevant in a way, in that they were just pawns in their game. And so you're like, oh, so they weren't really a big deal. It was all about these two guys.
It was a game.
It was a game, yeah. And... Sure. I mean, you can get lost in other things, like, no pun intended, you know, in that, yes, the season finale was great in that, you know, everything that mattered to them was, you know, their relationships that they did on the island, and that was what their purpose was. But still, in the end, it's like, well, season six still made their story kind of less because it was about these two guys. As like, well, so
that was the argument Jay and I had that people got frustrated with. We stopped doing it because I would argue, I said, Jacob's not a good guy.
No.
He brought people and they died. They died there before so he could win this game.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay would say, no, they had a choice. I go, they did not have a choice.
They did not have a choice. I mean, he says that clearly in one episode that, you know, your lives were horrible your real lives were horrible on the mainland. So I brought you here to have a better life.
Right.
And yes, you died, but it was still better than what was going to happen to you. And it was just like, they didn't say it exactly like that, but, it's like,
but that's what he was saying. Yeah.
But that's what he's saying. Yeah.
Dick.
Yeah. Well, thanks for giving me no choice in that matter.
Thanks. Bring me to an island with freaking polar bears.
Yeah. I haven't had a shower in months.
And that's finally a shower, and they hold, you know, hoard it to themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
A few people, only the clique can get the shower.
Yeah. Mr. Friendly watches me the whole time. Creep.
Well, you got to have a name tag. It's kind of like on Game of Thrones. That's what I heard.
Anyway, that was good talking. You guys made me want to see it.
It's good, Jack. You should watch Infinity War first, and then.
Well, every movie I've watched, I'm not a Spider-Man fan. I don't know. I've never liked Spider-Man.
Don't worry about Spider-Man too much. Yeah, there's so many different characters in the movie. I love
Captain America. Iron Man. I loved. I mean, there's characters I like.
Well, there's subtle little things in the movies that I always like, and I'm not sure if most people pick up on them. But in the Spider-Man movie, Homecoming. You know, that's why I never liked Spider-Man either, because he's just a selfish, self-centered punk. But he goes on this mission, but he tries to save this fairy that gets cut in half, you know, and Iron Man has to come in and save the day. And Iron Man eventually says, I'm going to take away your suit because you don't deserve it and all this. And and basically what Iron Man tells Spider-Man is, look, if you die, then that's on me. And I can't live with your death on my soul or my conscience. And in Infinity War, towards the end, when Spider-Man does die, he looks at Iron Man in the face and says, I'm sorry. Yeah. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm sorry that I'm dying because I know this is going to be on your conscience. And like, you have to put those two things together, though, which most people, I don't think, will put those two together. And then, sure enough, as soon as he comes back in this movie, that's the first thing he does is come up to Iron Man and is like, you know, and like it's really, if you can put those three things together, it's like, wow, like this is really well
thought out. Yeah, it's a great arc. Yeah. So, and even if you don't like Spider-Man, but there's plenty of cool, really amazing Captain America stuff, and Ant-Man is awesome. I really enjoyed Ant-Man, especially in this. He played more of a presence in this one than because he's not really in Infinity War.
There's two Ant-Man movies.
There's Ant-Man and Wasp.
Ant-Man and Wasp is on Netflix right now too.
All right, so maybe I'll check it out.
So he's been in four movies total, I think, so far. Just Ant-Man, Ant-Man and Wasp, Civil War, and this one.
It's funny, you don't see Paul Rudd as the superhero.
No, but that's why it works, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good. I don't know. I like his character. I like his.
Well, how can you not like Paul Rudd?
I know
he doesn't age.
Right. No. He doesn't. So
he's a vampire.
Well, I am not a vampire, and I need my sleep. So,
well, it was a good talk, guys. Good. I hope everybody enjoyed this extended version.
Yeah, a little bit longer, but you know.
We appreciate the patrons. That's why we do this. And, you know, tell a friend.
Yeah, that is one way that you can help out the podcast beyond just giving us a review or going to Amazon or even, you know, becoming a patron, which you already are if you're listening to this. But tell a friend about us. Yeah, you know?
Tell a friend that because, you know, again, if you didn't hear in the original show, that Nerdist is all the listeners are coming to us. So because people are going to start boycotting him. And we're taking their listeners, so it's going to get kind of crowded in here. Just saying. And we got like 3 million listeners all of a sudden that we may not be able to take your emails. So get your emails in while you can. RCADcast@gmail.com. But the font, maybe I should let you guys, younger guys, read it. Now that you guys have the password.
Yeah, we're all.
Even though I gave you guys the passwords 100 times, but that's okay.
All right. Well, great show, Jack. That's one in a...
One in a million. Glad I could be here. All right, guys. Hasta luego. Wake up, Nick.
Yep.
It's a little later for you now, isn't it?
9:30, yeah.
Yeah. You're used to being done here by like 8 o'clock and still got the night up.
Exactly. And I get to eat dinner and watch a little bit of TV.
Yeah, I don't have my granddaughter tomorrow, but I'm so tired from today. I'm just like, And again, it's my wife's birthday, so I have to be nice tomorrow.
Well, happy birthday, Cindy.
Yes. Happy 60th birthday to Cindy. Yeah. She's 59, but it's still funny.
All right. Round up. Yeah.
You're going to get some hate mail for that one.
I probably will. It'll be in small print. I can't read it. So, like I used to say on the Married Man show, I go, the hate mail comes written by people with crayons, so I can't read it. So. All right, guys. Goodbye now.
See ya.
See you next time.